All right, welcome again. Great day. Everybody ready for Christmas? Everything's got everything bought, meals all planned. Everybody's going like this. It's supposed to be the peaceful time of year. Sit down, relax, consider all the things going on. Talking about peace, that's what we're going to talk about today. Peace, that's one of the candles at Advent season. You ever thought about peace? Have you ever looked up the definition of peace? There's all kinds. All kinds of definitions. Just a few. State of tranquility or quiet. See, I think Randy probably has that out hunting in the woods. It's tranquil. It's quiet. I know a friend of mine does that. He's out in the woods. But the neighbor who takes the property doesn't like them hunting, doesn't like them shooting deers. So he waits till they're out there, and then he drives his four-wheeler with the horn blaring and everything along the edge of the property. Chases all the deers away. So tranquility and quiet doesn't always help. It doesn't always work. You can't always have that. There's always somebody to mess that up. Harmony in personal relations. Everybody's personal relations all in harmony? Liars, you're in church. Freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions. You don't think about anything, do you? Any worries or anything like that? You have freedom from disquieting emotions and thoughts. State of harmony in the absence of hostility or violence. We could maybe get to that one, you know, not if you're in Israel, not if you're in the Middle East, probably not in Chicago, New York, Compton, California, many other, St. Louis, many other places. You always have that threat of hostility and violence. Can't get away from that. Lack of conflict. Nobody has conflict, right? No conflict. Stress-free state of security and calmness. There's no stress, especially in December. There's no stress, is there? Remember the old Miss America? Well, I guess they still have it. I haven't seen it for many, many years. But even Sandra Bullock, I think, made a thing, Miss America thing. She was a pageant person. You know, she'd say all these things, interview questions. Of course, what's the one phrase they're looking for? World peace. She went through this whole spot about doing all these things, and people are just gasping, looking at her like, and world peace. Yay! Got to have world peace in there. But has anybody been good with all of those things I just mentioned? You know, no stress, harmony in personal relationships, free from disquieting emotions and thoughts. You know, even at work, you know, or if you got a project, you know, maybe it's, boy, if I could just get this project out of the way. This one's really causing me problems. If I could just get this and out of the way, then things would be better. Or if I just wouldn't let this one person be on my nerves, if I could just let that go, I could have peace with it. I know I could. Or if I could get along better with that person, and that person being a neighbor, or a co-worker, maybe a cousin, maybe even a sister or a brother. If I could get along better with them, maybe a husband and wife, maybe a mother or father. If I could get along better, there would just be peace. Or maybe if it's, I could just have a better job. You know, my job, I don't enjoy it, I just need one I enjoy. I need something different. Or if my finances were better. You know, always think if we made more money, we would be better off. More peace would come to us, you know. Just win that lottery. Things would be great, you know. No more problems. Maybe sometimes, got some kids. If my kids were grown, you know, I didn't have to worry about them and take care of them, there would be more peace. Maybe if I was healthier. Maybe we got issues we're dealing with. If I was healthier, I could have more peace. Or if I could retire, I'm going to give it a shot. Let's see if that gives more peace or not. But we're looking for things. We believe that conditions in our life are what creates peace in our life. And that's not really so. They can certainly be improved, but we still seek peace in a life of chaos. There's stuff all around us going on all the time, and it's not the conditions in our life that creates peace in our life. Say, well, I can't make peace because too many others are causing trouble for me. They're doing this, they're doing that. They keep getting it wrong. You know, just ask me. I'll tell you, they're getting it wrong. They're not doing it right. They're not doing the things they're supposed to. It's always the other person. But someone or something's always coming between us and peace. Well, where and how do we get peace? How do we get that? Well, in the Christmas season, we find the Prince of Peace was given to us. So I'm going to read Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. It says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So the Prince of Peace was born to us. You know, we've already got the Prince of Peace. He was also a deliverer, a counselor. He's Mighty God, was born to us. His government and peace will have no end. You know, it'll be that way one day. And that's where our hope lies that we talked about last week. Our hope lies in his coming back. And then the peace will arrive. But it's not now. It's not yet. The world's still in hands at the chaos because it's in the hands of Satan. You know, even the Bible calls him the prince of this world. You know, Satan has some control here, as much as God will allow. But Satan has control. You know, and as Tom mentioned downstairs, we put God out of our schools and out of our public settings and out of our homes and out of our culture. You know, we can't expect peace without God in all of those things. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 38. Matthew 10, 34 through 38. Might surprise you that what God says about peace, if we really read it. It says, do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. The gospel does a lot of things. The gospel, the word of God, it does unify men. The gospel does unify it. Unified fishermen and tax collectors and Pharisees and prostitutes back in the day that we read about in the Bible. Just as it does teachers and businessmen and police and fishermen today and trailer builders and farmers and as well as the prostitutes of today and those caught on drugs today that and everyone else that have come to know the saving grace of Jesus. It unifies us all into a body of believers. That's what Christ can do. That's what he did. That's what he's still doing. But it creates one body of believers who believe in Jesus Christ, have the Holy Spirit in them as a changed person. That's how you know they've changed. They're different. You know, a person who desires to be obedient and allows himself to be changed into what God desires them to be, who God wants them to be, and then to reach out to others as Jesus would. But it all hinges on God first. God's first above any and all things here. God has to be first. The gospel also divides. You know, the sword of the Spirit's the Word of God. You know, it separates those who accept Christ and those who don't. Those who are children of God and those who aren't. And with that separation comes differences. Life changes for the one in Christ, and they look at things a little differently than they used to. They hopefully look at them as Christ does. See needs, see that we should love and care and draw other people to Him. Those around us who haven't taken advantage of grace stay in the worldly ways. And this creates problems and keeps the peace out. You know, Jesus had first-hand experience with His family. You know, His brothers and sisters didn't agree with Him either. They didn't believe Him. They didn't want part of that. It changed later, but He said a prophet is not welcome in his own hometown. The people that knew Him, it changed. So being a believer, being Christian, changes us, changes those around us. And it may be that you've been experiencing troubling times with family and friends because of how you look at things and do things. And with that, peace doesn't come because of the troubles there. You may have concern over family and friends that aren't in the kingdom. You know, you want them to be there. That's troubling. And they may not even see you the same or want you to be around as before or want to be around you. Peace doesn't come from that either. Doesn't mean we shouldn't try to keep the peace as much as we can, as much as it's up to us. You know, we're to be God's hands, we're to be God's feet, we're to be His example of light in the darkness. But it means we're expected to be better than those around us as far as being peaceable and helpful and loving to others. So I'm going to say, if there's any friction with any family or friends, get it taken care of. There's not a better time. Get it taken care of. If you say you're a believer, then it's on you to make peace. It's on you. You know, if people say they're believers, then what's the problem? If both people say they're believers, what's the problem? That means someone isn't doing what God calls them to do. And again, do as you can. It takes two. It takes the other person as well. But do what God tells you to do. Be peaceable. Peacemakers, says it called children, a child of God. Do you know how hard it is to get along? Not hard. It's really not. It's really not hard to get along. You know, just common decency allows that. Just common decency allows you to get along. It's not that hard. You know, communication, a little effort, and a lot of prayer can do a lot of things. Then you can grab a small bit of peace in this life while you're here. But don't let it go on and on and on. You know, life is short. You know, they talk about that dash between the numbers. The older you get, that dash seems shorter and shorter. So don't let years go by. Don't let that linger. Don't add to the chaos when there's a better way. God's way. It tells us what to do. It's pretty simple. It's not as hard as we make it out to be. In James chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. James chapter 3, 17 and 18. Give Levi a chance. He's doing a great job up there. It says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. You know, if you are who you say you are as a believer, then this is the wisdom that's been given to you. But notice it says you have to sow. Peacemakers who sow in peace. You know, there's work to be done. You have to work a little bit for the peace you can have. You have to work for it. It takes effort. It's not natural because we're not in God's world yet. It's not natural here. But it'll bring a harvest of righteousness. Do the work and see how much of it comes and see how it comes out. Because I can assure you the new relationship will be a lot better if you do. If the other person's a non-believer, then work to make them one. That's our job. That's what God has created us to do. Created us to be with Him. And created us to be for Him. He's given us one job. Go and tell others. John 14. Chapters 25 through 20. Chapters. Verses 25 through 27. It says, "All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Now, Jesus was a gift. Jesus was a gift. And He sent the Holy Spirit to teach us and to remind us of everything God wants us to be. Who God wants us to be. Now, Jesus gives us the gift of peace. He said, "My peace I give to you." You can have it. Okay, you may not have peace in this world, but you can have a peace. You can have the peace that Jesus gives. It's an inward peace. It's not as the world gives with a temporary feeling of quiet and lack of stress. Those are all temporary things you might enjoy for a short period of time. But Jesus can give a long-lasting peace for those who accept it. It's available. And sometimes we pray for peace. You already have it. It's available. He gave it to you. It's a peace that keeps their hearts from trouble and having an attitude of fear. Once again, in the Bible, you'd fear not. What are you afraid of? We get afraid of grasping what Jesus has for us, what He has already given us. We don't take hold of it. Fear not. And don't be afraid of putting in the work to be a peacemaker, because it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it here, and it's worth it in eternity. I'm going to have an invitation in a minute. I want to finish off with Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." You know, your relationship with Jesus determines how much peace you have in this life. You know, there's a permanent peace to come, but a peace has been left for us, gifted to us now, for now. But where's your mind? Where's your heart? Is it on those things we just read? You know, we pray for the peace that passes all understanding. But it's a peace you have to experience, and you can experience it. And I hope you have. I hope you have experienced that type of peace. I know I have in the death of loved ones. Sometimes that comes. There may be things happen. There may be confusion. There may be a little depression. There may be anger because we don't understand everything. But when the Spirit helps you to understand, it makes all the difference. Just a flood of peace can come over you because you understand then maybe the whys or wherefore, that he's, even if not the whys, that he's still there. He helps you to understand. And that gives you peace about things. Peace is an experience you have to have with the Holy Spirit. Peace doesn't come from changes in our conditions or our circumstances. It comes from our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no peace without the cross. We talked downstairs, the birth changed everything. The birth of Christ changed everything. And you can say the cross nailed it down. It finished it. Now, grace and peace is always a greeting Paul uses. But it's always grace before peace, because there is no peace without grace. You know, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. I think we're gonna sing a song about that next. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. I pray you have that peace on earth. And I pray that God desires for you through Christ. And I pray that Christ, that if not, you'll open yourself up and ask Jesus to supply that peace that he can give you. And I believe he will. It's already available. He's already said, I give it to you. I've given it to you. You just have to accept it. You have to take it. And take this time to be a peacemaker. If things are going on, get them settled. Get them settled. Let's pray.